Deborah, thank you so much for accompanying the choir today. I had a hunch that Deborah must be playing when I saw her this morning, and so I said, yes, Deborah's playing. Kelly, welcome back from vacation. We're glad to have you. Libby did a great job. We were having a funny conversation before church. Kelly said, yeah, I've been going for a whole week, had to remind myself what we were singing this morning, get myself reoriented. Well, Kelly, well done. Planned a lot of great things before you went off on the beach. That last song, y'all. I'll just tell you, if you ever want to, this is what I do. If there's a song that they're singing and you want to sing it, you just pull your hymnal out, and there in the back, you can look it up by the first word in the hymnal, and so I just joined. I think this is as close as I'm ever getting to the choir. It did cross my mind, like, man, what if I was sitting beside Matt Rich right now? I'd be so happy. And Matt would be so off. All right, Deuteronomy chapter 6. If you're using a pew Bible, you're going to be on page 130. I invite you to hear the word of the Lord. These are the commands, decrees, and laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live by keeping all his decrees and commands that I give you, and so that you may enjoy a long life. Hear, O Israel, and be careful to obey so that it may go well with you and that you may increase greatly in a land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your fathers, promised you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. These commandments I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. What is your number one priority today? What are the top three things that you're going to focus your heart, your mind, and energy on this week? I have a little calendar that I got not long ago, and it asks me or encourages me to answer those three questions or four questions. That at the beginning of the week, I should say, all right, what are my priorities this week? What am I going to be most focused on accomplishing? And then it invites me every day to write down what's my top priority, the thing that I want to get done if I don't get anything else done today. And when I confess to you that I'm not great at that, I'm not great at looking at my week and trying to whittle it down to just three things. And so often when I get up in the morning or I think about the week ahead, it's like, whew. Like there's so many things that are out there, and some of the things that are out there, I don't even know what they are yet. Like things are going to happen this week that right now you have no idea of, perhaps. And in the midst of all of your kind of commitments and obligations, in the midst of all the things that you could focus your attention and time and heart on, it seems difficult for us, it seems difficult for me to just kind of boil it down to three for the week and one for the day. And I think the thing is the same is true for us as Christians generally. Like, what all could we do today as Christians? We could gather for worship, like we are. We could sing songs. We could go and serve somewhere. We could go down to Faith Church and the Lee Food Pantry and participate there. We could go on mission trips. Tomorrow morning, I'm going to get up and fly to Ohio, somewhere in Ohio. I'm not really sure, actually. I'm going to eventually find my way to Ebenezer Baptist Church and see what's going on with the Voters for Christ mission team and come back. Then I made sure my schedule was such that, because I did prioritize VBS Family Night. You should come. If you don't come to anything else for VBS, you should just come to Family Night and see all the families and all the kids that will be here. It's one of the highlights of my year. There's so many things that we could do and prioritize as people of faith. But I want you to kind of ask yourself the question, is there one thing above everything that ought to be your top priority every day? That no matter the season of life, no matter your workload, no matter if you're on vacation, no matter, that can there really be one thing above all things that ought to be your top priority every day? And I think as we look at this passage from Deuteronomy chapter 6, the answer is yes, and it may not be what you think it is. That every day when you wake up and your feet hit the floor, this should be the thing above all things that you're focused on. Now Moses is continuing to get the people ready to go into the promised land, and he's given them the Ten Commandments. We looked at the Ten Commandments last week. One of the most challenging things I've ever done is to try to preach one sermon on the Ten Commandments. Even if I gave 2 minutes to each of those last week, we're going to be here for a little while. And all these different commandments that you and I can think of, and I've continued to be convicted that they are beautiful paths of a life that you and I could embrace as we yield ourselves to God's purposes and His plans. To love the Lord God alone, right? To have no idols. To not misuse the name of the Lord in vain. To remember the Sabbath day and to keep it holy. To honor our parents, to not murder, to not commit adultery, to not steal, to not bear false witness, to not covet. That all of those commandments God gave His people in a gracious effort to kind of show them what life could like if they would live in obedience to Him. And here in Deuteronomy chapter 6, it's as if Moses wants to elevate one command above all the other commands, because this one command, if followed, will lead us into faithfulness to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love our neighbor as ourselves. And so he says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your might." I would submit to you that your number one priority every day ought to be to love God with everything that you are. That if you don't do anything else tomorrow, that if you don't accomplish anything else this week, that the top of your list ought to be your desire to love God with everything that you have. Because apart from that, apart from you loving God with everything that you are and everything that you have, all of your attempts at obedience are ultimately going to fall short of what God would have for you to know and to live into in your life. That loving God is the primary duty that we've been called to as people of faith. And I'll just confess to you that somewhere along the way, I lost sight of that. Like if you had walked into my office 2 weeks ago and you're like, "Wayne, what's my primary duty today?" I don't know that I would have responded, "Your primary obligation today is to love God with everything you got." Right? I might have said, "I don't know. Read your Bible." I'm trying to think, like, what would I have offered up to you as the primary thing that you should be obsessed with in life? And as I've thought about what Moses says here to the people, it's been clear to me that everything that I try to do in the name of the Lord will fall short if I don't first start with this idea that I need to love God with everything that I have. And there's a way in which you think about that command and it seems kind of odd, doesn't it? Like, imagine that we get up in the morning and I'm like, "Mary, I just want you to love me today." I mean, you're like, "Yeah, that's going to be so easy though, Wayne," right? It doesn't feel like a command often to us, does it? It feels like an optional thing or something that might happen in some strange way, that love kind of in our larger culture is this mysterious kind of thing. And here Moses commands the people to do it. He commands them that they shall love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And how are they supposed to pursue this? With one, they need to acknowledge that it's not going to happen naturally. You live in a fallen world and you are a fallen person, and it's just going to be the case that you're not going to get up every morning and in your own strength and power, your natural inclination is not going to be to love God with all of your heart and all of your soul and all of your might. Moses makes that clear when he keeps reiterating that this is one, he tells them, you need to work on this. Be diligent to do this. Make it a priority. That you and I shouldn't see something faulty in us if we don't just wake up every morning and we're like, man, I just can't wait to love God with all that I have and all that I am. That you and I are prone to wander from our love from the Lord. Moses knows that the people of God who are about to inherit the promised land, they're going to be prone to move away from the Lord. And so there is this part of us as people of faith that we recognize that and we say, I'm going to make it my priority today, Lord, to love you. This will require effort on my part. This will require intentionality for me to ask you, Lord, to help me to be diligent not to stray from who you are and what you've done for me. And then Moses says, I just want you to write these commandments everywhere. I want them to be on your heart, and then I want them to be everywhere that you can't not see them. Now, if you came to my house tomorrow and you walked in and on the wall there was the Ten Commandments and there was Deuteronomy chapter 6 and there was Matthew 22 that Amy read for us earlier, like if all of those things were on there, if you got in my car and it was just kind of plastered all over the car, if you came to my office and there were just commands everywhere, would you think I'm odd? You're like, yes, for that and many other reasons.
Yes.
You don't know the half of it, right? You would think that I was somewhat odd. But Moses knows that as they live among people who are not people of faith, people who don't believe that there's only one God who created all things, people who would question whether or not God's desires for them are good and will lead them to that which is ultimately abundant life, as all of those things are working on them and as the culture around them is working on them, they're going to be prone to forget God's grace and his mercy and his kindness in their life. And so he says, write these commands on your heart and keep them before you all the time. And in somewhat poetic language, he says, when you sit in your house, talk about it. When you walk on the way, talk about it. When you get up in the morning, talk about the things of the Lord. And when you go to bed, what are you supposed to do? Talk about the things of the Lord. That they are supposed to be somewhat obsessed with focusing their hearts and their minds on the things of the Lord and the commandments that he has given them, because there ought to be this recognition in their hearts that they are going to be prone to stray from God's plans and purposes, that they're going to be prone to stray from the reality of his presence in their lives. And when they're not living in this relationship of love with him, the only thing that's going to happen is sin and straying from the Lord. Do you live your life every day as if God himself is present and walking alongside you? Do you? I don't. There are seasons of my life where I kind of get up and I'm like, yes, what's the priority list? Like, what's the first meeting I need to go to? Or what's this thing? Or what's that thing? And if I'm not careful, I act as if the Lord is somehow constrained to this book and that he's not walking alongside me each and every day. And one of the ways that I work against that as I talk about him, as if he is a real person, as if he is present in my life, and reflect upon all the things that he has done for me and the ways that he has shown his love for me. And as I do that, then my heart is moved to love him. That our primary duty as people of faith, as one commentator, I paraphrased him, says, like, our primary duty is to love God. And if we love God with all of our heart and with all of our soul and all of our might, then the faithful living part will come as God's Holy Spirit is at work in our hearts and life. But if we try obedience apart from love, do you know what you will become? You'll become a Pharisee. Like, obedience apart from a heart that loves and is yielded to the Lord in response to what he's done for you, you might become a really good rule keeper, an outwardly religious person. As you read the New Testament and you read Jesus walking in his life and his ministry, the people that he had the biggest issue with were whom? Not the people who knew they were sinners. Not the people who knew they needed grace and mercy and kindness. It was the people who thought that they had somehow earned something from the Lord, and they had forgotten that it was God's love and grace and mercy that then would awaken love in them for him. That there is nothing more important that you can do today or tomorrow than grow in your love for the Lord. How can you do that? Let's just say for, you know, kicks, you're here and you're like, all right, I'm in. I would love to do that. I would love to love God more. I was driving home with one of my children this week, and again, if you grew up in a minister's house, you're always hearing the sermon. Just happens, sorry. And I was like, I'd like to love God more. And this child was like, yeah, me too. I want to live in the reality of God's presence in my life, and I want everything I do to be motivated by love for him. How do I do that? We had a devotion this week. We have staff devotions every Tuesday at 9:30. If you're ever around, you're welcome. Drop in. And we start with the devotion, and this week Mary led the devotion, and she talked about this exercise of gratitude. She can send it to you if you're interested. But the question that she encouraged us to think about this last Tuesday was, what's one thing that God has done for you that fills you with gratitude to him? Or what's one bad thing that didn't happen that could have happened that fills you with gratitude and thankfulness to the Lord? As I thought about my answer to that question, the first thing that came to mind is that, not to dramatize this or lose your focus, but I had my car taken one time when I was in a township in South Africa. And I look back on that and I'm like, I'm just thankful generally that I'm still here. Right? Could have ended differently. But last night I was thinking about that question. And I think about all the ways that I've been unfaithful and just generally a knucklehead throughout my life. And I look back, and I could give evidence of these different things that happened that could have turned out far differently for me than they did. And perhaps I wouldn't be your pastor, and perhaps I wouldn't be standing in a pulpit preaching sermons apart from God's grace and his mercy and his kindness and his love for me. And that melts my heart to love him more. And I'm guessing that each of you, you have your own story. Like, if you thought about your life and the things that could have turned out differently apart from God's grace and his mercy and his kindness, that there might be in your life some things that you could write down and you could say, Lord, I praise you that you were kind and merciful and gracious to me in this scenario. Thank you for extending your love and your mercy to me in ways that I don't deserve. And it develops within your heart a love for the Lord. I just tell you, in my own merits, I don't deserve to know the Lord. I don't deserve to be in ministry. I don't deserve any of those things apart from His grace and His kindness and His mercy. I didn't deserve to wake up this morning. I didn't deserve to know who I am. I didn't deserve to be able to gather for you in worship. I certainly don't deserve to be robed with the very righteousness of Jesus Christ. And all of those things are an expression of God's love for me. And as I contemplate His love for me, not in a theoretical way, but in concrete terms that I can tell you about, it moves my heart to love Him. And then now, I want to live a life of faithfulness and obedience to Him. Because God's going to call you to do things and pursue things that you don't want to do. And He's going to call you to love people who are very unlovable. Amen? Just remember, you're that for somebody. Even you. And apart from this love for the Lord, I'm not going to live into those commandments, because I'm going to think I know better than Him. And in those moments where I think I know better than Him, I want my love and my reverence for Him to lead me to a life of obedience in whatever it is that He calls me to. Whatever you do this week, I encourage you to ask the Lord by the power of His Holy Spirit to give you greater love for Him. Recount the ways that you've experienced His grace and His mercy and His kindness. Recount the ways that He's shown you love. And ask Him that as you love Him more, that you might go out into the world and live more faithfully. I invite you to pray with me. God, I thank You so much for Your kindness to me and to us. We thank You that You are a God who pursues us with steadfast love. And we ask forgiveness for the places in our hearts where we don't love You with all that we are. But Lord, we want to. And so help us to be reminded of all the ways that You have shown Your mercy to us, and then move us out into the world in just humble obedience and faithfulness to Your call upon our lives. We love You, and we offer this prayer in Christ's name. Amen. If you're here this morning and you've never publicly professed your faith in Christ, and you feel like God's calling you to do that, or unite with us and be a member here at Mount Brook Baptist Church, I'll be at the front to receive you. Or if you respond by standing, singing, praying where you are, however God leads you to respond, I invite you to join me as we stand together.